Welcome to this Portland Christian Center podcast coming to you from Portland, Oregon. The following message titled, Giving, It's Up to You, is part of our series called Overflow, and it's presented by Ray Noah, lead pastor here at the center. We invite you to look at the downloadable sermon notes available with this podcast to get the most out of the message. The primary scriptures comes from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So now let's join Ray.
We're going to return to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 this morning as we wrap up this overflow series. So I'm going to ask you to turn there. We're going to kind of bounce through both of these chapters again today, but settle in chapter 8, primarily in verses 7 and 8. We're going to get there toward the end of this message. So again, find that if you would. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the chair, in the rack underneath, or you can just follow along on the screens as they appear in a moment. This is a series, as you know if you've been here, that has explored the cycle of abundance that God desires for His people. God desires for His people. You don't have to convince God to bless you with abundance. I think sometimes we kind of feel like God is reluctant, He's stingy, we got to convince Him that we're blessable. That is not the case at all. God desires to bless His people by bringing them into this cycle of abundance. That cycle, simply described, is this. The more you give away, the more God gives you to give away. That's the essence of this series. It's true. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, will people give back to you. Same measure that you meet, it'll be met back to you. That's the cycle of abundance. The more you give away, the more God will give you to give away. Now, again, that's the essence of this overflow series, and our generosity is the key that unleashes this overflowing abundance to and through our lives. To and through our lives. It's not just about us getting more, it's about us getting more so that we can give more. Our generosity unleashes this overflowing abundance to and then through our lives. So we want to wrap that up, talk a little bit more about that today. So I want to restate again today some of the major truths that we've been reminded of so far. And this is where it starts. Number one, generosity is God's preeminent trait. The prominent characteristic of Almighty God is that He is generous. God is a giver. In fact, that's the very first thing that we come to when we find these two amazing chapters, some of the most compelling and comprehensive teaching in all of Scripture on giving and generosity, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. The first thing that you see when you come to chapter 8, verse 1, is this idea of God's generosity. Notice what it says. Generosity starts with the grace of God that has been what? Has been given among the churches, among the people of God. The grace of God that He has given. That's where generosity starts. I hope that you will never forget that. I hope that you will always remember that in any discussion about giving, in any appeal for you to give, I hope that you will remember that that God gave first to us. God started it all. For God so loved the world that He gave. God is a giver. And so therefore, our giving is not to initiate God's giving. And, a lot of us think that I've got to give to get God to give back to me. It's not the case. It is not to initiate God's giving. Rather, our giving, whatever form that comes in is simply to be a thankful response to who God is and to what He's already done for us. That's the motive. That's the genesis. That's the energy for giving, as a thankful response to who God is, this gracious, generous God, and what He has already done for us. God is generous. That's number one. Number two, our generosity, therefore, honors the Creator's design. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, the Apostle Paul points out that the generous giving of the Macedonians, now remember, he's using the example of the Macedonian churches, the Macedonian Christians, that is Philippi, that is Thessalonica, that's Berea. He's using their generosity to encourage generous giving from the Corinthian church down in the southern region, south of where Macedonia is in Achaia, and he's using their generosity as an example and as a motivator, and he points out that the Macedonians' generosity simply flows out of the purposes of God, the design of God, the DNA of God that is working in their lives. We were made with God's DNA. We've got our Father's genes. We're made with God's DNA. And so since He is generous, He has made us to be preeminently generous as well. If we are not generous givers, we show that God's DNA is not fully functioning in our lives, at least as of yet. We're functioning out of another kind of DNA, and that is our own fallen human DNA, which leads us into the ditch of self and selfishness. We're not generous. We're not operating out of God's DNA. But when we give, we're doing just what God does. When we give, we're just doing what God already does. God is a generous God, and when we're generous, we're God-like. I was reminded of this story this week that's told by Julie Manham you've heard this story, I'm sure, but it bears repeating, of a young boy who wanted to go find God. And so knowing it would be a very long trip to God's place, he packed his little suitcase. And he packed his suitcase full of Twinkies and root beer. And he set out. When he had got about 3 blocks, he saw an old woman sitting on a bench. She was just staring at the birds, the pigeons. And so he sat next to her and he opened up his suitcase. And he was about to eat a snack when he noticed that she looked kind of hungry. And so he offered her one of his Twinkies, which she gratefully accepted with a smile. Well, her smile was so warm that he thought he wanted to see a little bit more of that smile, so he offered her also a root beer, which she accepted as well, and again, she smiled at him. And they just sat there eating and smiling, but they never said a word to one another, just eating Twinkies and drinking root beer. Well, as it got darker, the little boy knew that he needed to get back home, and so he started to leave, and then he thought, I want to see her smile one more time. So he just went over to her, and he hugged her, and she gave him the biggest smile of all. Well, he made his way back home, and he walked into the house, and his mom noticed that he was just grinning from ear to ear, and she said, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" And he said, "Oh, I had lunch with God in the park." And before she could respond, he said, "You know, she's got the prettiest smile I've ever seen." Meanwhile, the old woman returned home. She lived with her son, and she too had a big smile on her face, and her son said, "Well, what made you so happy today?" And she said, "Well, I ate Twinkies with God in the park today." And before he could respond, she added, "You know, he's much younger than I expected." We are never more like God. We're never more God-like when we are generously giving out of what we have, like father, like son, like daughter, like dad. Number 3, your generosity unlocks God's abundance. We've already talked about that, but your generosity is what unlocks God's abundance. It is a universal, immutable, circular law assuring that the more we give away, the more abundantly God will give to us so that we can give even more away. Again, that circular law. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 says, "God can bless you with everything you need, and you will always have more than enough to do all kinds of good things for others." Master generosity, and you will have more. Master this business. Master this issue of generosity. Become a generous person, and you will always have more. Have you noticed that generous people do? They seem to have more. They have more money. They have more opportunity. They have more influence. They have more impact. They have more joy. Why is that? Because it's God's law. God has declared it to be so. You're generous, I will give you more. That's why Proverbs 11:24, I love this in the Message, says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller." You want your world to increase? You young people that are, you know, going through school, getting ready to go out on your own, and you hope that you'll be successful and significant and make an impact in this life. You want your world to grow. You want it to be huge. God gives you a plan. He says, "Be generous of heart, and I will expand your world beyond belief." But you hang on to what you have. You protect what you have. And you don't just maintain what you have, it begins to shrink. That's just the law that God has set into place. So honor that law, and God will unleash his abundance to you. Number four, generosity is how God measures our giving. Generosity, not the amount, but the generosity of heart is how God benchmarks our giving. In the Contemporary English Version, chapter 8, verse 5, 2 Corinthians says, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us, notice, just as God wanted them to. Just as God wanted them to. It's not the amount that God counts, it's the generosity of heart that makes you pleasing to him. Now, Paul, writing to the Philippians, remember, they're one of the Macedonian churches that he's appealing to and praising because of their generosity. He writes to the Philippians, and in chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, this is out of the Phillips version of the Bible. By the way, this verse was shared with me this week by Pastor Jim Swanson. And he said this is the verse that he used to use all of the time when he was teaching stewardship. And so I said I would give the Apostle Paul credit for it, and maybe him as well. So I got that off my list. So this is what the Apostle Paul writes. Listen to this. It says, it isn't the value. He's talking about the giving that they've just been involved in. It's not the value of the gift that I'm keen on. That's not what I'm excited about. But it's the reward that will come to you because of these gifts that you've made. I'm excited about what God is going to do in your life through the conduit of your generosity. He says, your generosity is like a lovely fragrance, a sacrifice that pleases God's heart. So I want to encourage you, settle the issue of generosity. And as verse 19 goes on to say, that your sacrifice, whatever that sacrifice is, your sacrifice will be met with God's supply. Again, one of God's laws. Your sacrifice, your sacrificial generosity will be met with God's supply. The verse says, and my God will supply all that you need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus. And I absolutely love it when people in this church family begin to discover this, that I give and God supplies, that I give generously and God is even more generous back to me. Pastor Caleb was telling the staff a story this week about how that happened in with one of the students in the youth ministry, and I asked him if he would find out if I could have permission to share this story. And the story, his testimony really is about one of the young people. Her name is Anna, and I don't know if Anna's here. I saw her earlier this morning, but Anna began following Jesus not more than about a year ago, and she's from a non-Christian background, and she'd never given any money to the church, never given any money in an offering, but a few weeks ago, as Pastor Caleb was leading the student ministry in this discussion of overflow and how we worship God through our giving, Anna decided that she would give $1 in the offering. Now remember, it's not the amount. It is really not the amount that counts. It's the act. It's the obedience. It's the trust and the faith. It's the generosity. So Anna gave $1 in the offering. Well, over the next 2 days, she received 4 calls for babysitting jobs that weekend, which she said never happens. She gave. God gave back 4 times over the amount. In fact, more than 4 times. I hope she's not getting just $1 for babysitting. If she is, where was she when Lynn and I were raising our kids? And Anna's testimony is that God was showing her that he had honored her gift and that he was proving himself to her that he would take care of her needs when she honored him. And Anna, again, I don't know if you're in this place today, but I am excited for what God is going to do in your life. I can't wait to see the abundance that God releases to you. I hope I'm around long enough, because I think you are. If you will follow through on this, and if generosity will become your characteristic, God will make you an example of the cycle of generosity, and he will bless your life with abundance. I don't know if that's monetarily or not, and I hope it is. I think in every other way, in addition to material provision, God will make you an example of his abundance. So way to go, Anna. Way to go, Anna. So, number 5. Generosity is something that only you can decide. Generosity of your heart is a decision for you to make. I can't determine the amount of your generosity. Even the law of tithing can't do that. Tithing can dictate a number, a percentage. That's what the word tithe means. It's a mathematical measurement. It means 10%. So that can benchmark for you how much you should give. And I don't think that's a bad fact. I think that's a good thing. It's very helpful. I think under the New Testament spirit of grace, I think that the 10% probably ought to be just a minimum benchmark for us if we're going to really test out this truth of abundance in our lives. But that can't determine for you what your generosity will be. Generosity is a heart decision. It's a heart decision. Here's how Paul says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. And these are the two verses that we want to come to and spend the rest of our time here. It says, each one should give what he has decided. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give. It's a heart decision. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now again, in these two verses, as I talked about last week out of the whole of chapter 9, Paul is giving us some principles, some promises, and some purposes. Principles, promises, and purposes. So here's the principle. You determine your own level of generosity. He says, you decide in your heart. And here's the promise. When you do that, God will give you overflowing grace. Grace, by nature, is overflowing anyway. So this is kind of a double whammy here. Overflowing grace, God will make sure, comes back to you. And here's the purpose. Here's why God wants to do that. Then, as you obey God, as he blesses you, then you can produce even greater kingdom abundance with what God provides. And as you do that, God will release even more to you. Principles, promises, and purposes. And now I want to add one more P word to that. I want to add one more dimension to that, and that is a process. I want to give you a process for your giving. And these two verses that we just read, verses 7 and 8, are four distinct guidelines for generous giving that will make you both pleasable to God and blessable by God. Both pleasable and blessable. So let me give you these four very quickly. First of all, you are to give deliberatively. We've already talked about this, but let me restate it. You are to give deliberatively. It says you are to decide in your heart about giving. Now listen, at the end of the day, this is your decision. I can't make you. I'm not going to decide for you. You sign no contract with Portland Christian Center to come here or to even to be a member. We enter covenants together, but this is your decision. You must decide generosity of your own heart. But as the Apostle Paul does, I'm calling you as your pastor to search the Bible, search the scriptures, and I want you to search your heart as well, and then come to grips with generosity until it is a value that drives your behavior, that drives your stewardship. I'm so glad that both Linda and I decided a long time ago. In fact, we decided this matter before we even met and got married. Growing up, we both had decided. Our parents had modeled it very well. We said in teaching that had accurately described this business of generous giving. And we decided that we were going to be, with God's help, as generous as we could in our giving. And as best we can, we have honored God. And so our giving is not driven by our circumstances. It's not limited by our circumstances. It's not based on how we feel at the moment. It's not even based on whether we like what the leadership of the church is doing. And right at this point, we really like what the leadership of the church is doing. But we've not always been the lead pastors, but we've not made our giving conditional upon that. Our giving has been based upon God's word, God's call, and His allowance of us to decide, are we going to do this or not? We are doing this, and we're glad, and we've been blessed by it. And so what I want to get you to is this position. That each and every one of us here at Portland Christian Center, from the youngest to the oldest, from the most, from the wealthiest and the most materially enriched to those who barely have anything, that wouldn't be the amount, but it would be the generosity of heart that we would decide upon, and we would allow that to turn us into generous givers. Now, I want to I don't want to compel you to do this, but I want to give you a mechanism for how I think you can declare that. In your bulletin today, it's been there for the last 3 weeks, I want you to look at it, is this little card that says overflow, and underneath it, it says, it's my giving covenant. And I want you, as I've encouraged you already, to pray about making a covenant with God. Now, why is this important? Is it important to the church? Well, in a way it is, because it's a spiritual matter for you, and the more spiritually healthy and obedient you are, the more we as a church family will be blessed. But this is not about getting some amount that you're going to pledge to the church this year. This is not about a pledge. This is not a pledge. We're not asking you for a number. This is really between you and God, but it's a covenant that I'm going to ask you to place before the Lord as a spiritual marker that says, I will test you in this, God. And usually it's not good to test God, but he invites us in the area of giving to test him. I'm going to test you. I'm going to enter into a covenant with you, God, that I'm going to do my part of the covenant, and I'm going to expect you to do your part as well. I'm going to talk about expectation in a moment. Now, why is something like this important? Well, throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, there were various times when God called his people, the leaders of God's people, called them to set up a marker, to put stones one on the other, to do this or to do that. There would be a memorial of the covenant that God had made with them, that they had made with God. And so next Sunday, on Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to just do a message on Thanksgiving, and out of our gratitude and out of our trust of God, we're going to bring our covenant, our giving covenants, and lay them before the Lord. I'm still thinking through how we'll do that, but I'm going to challenge you to really pray about that and think about how you want to do that next week. And there are basically three categories that I'm asking you to consider. The first one is simply that you would say, you know what, Pastor Ray, I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much. We're generous, we're giving, and we're happy with where we are. God's happy with where we are, and we just want to continue to live in the blessing of God's abundance. And if that's you, that's fine. You know, maybe all of you will do that. I doubt it, but a number of you will. You just put that, you know, we're doing just fine, but we're going to continue, and we're going to reaffirm this covenant. The second area is that some of you, God is going to call to do even more. He's going to say, look, you're giving, but there's a level of generosity that I want to lead you into. And as you do that, I want to bless you with even more. And so some of you need to open your heart up to that. And then there are some of you, the last category is that you're not doing anything. You've not been trusting God in this area. Perhaps you've never been taught. You've never been challenged. I hope this will be the challenge and the opportunity for you to begin to step out and to trust God to give the resources that he's placed in your life back to him and prove God that he won't do what he said he would do, and that is to open up the windows of heaven and pour his abundance out upon you in your life and through your life and bring you into that cycle of abundance. And so begin to pray about it. And next week, we're going to do this, and I believe this is a covenant that God, as we make it, is going to honor and bring this church into a new dimension of his blessing as we do. Now, I'm not going to keep these cards, and again, there's no tally on them. It's simply you saying, I'm covenanting with God, and in a few weeks, I'm going to just send them back to you with a little reminder that I'm praying for you and believing that God is going to fulfill his word to you. So you get ready for that next week. That is a mechanism by which we will, I think, be able to get deliberative and strategic and take a step of faith in our giving. Second, here's the process. Second, not only are you to give deliberatively, but you are to give eagerly. Don't give because you feel pressured, in spite of what you might have just felt with this giving covenant. Don't give because you feel pressured to give, not reluctantly, as Paul says, or under compulsion, or as the little boy who misquoted that verse said, repulsively and under convulsions. Please don't do that. Don't give because it will make you feel better, although it will. Don't give because it will ease your guilt, although it probably will. Don't give because it will make you look good, but give because you want to tangibly demonstrate your gratitude to God. That's the best way to give. Just do this because you want to tangibly say, God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to you. Give because it's just the right thing to do. Give because you're biblically convinced that this is God's will for you. Give because it's the nature of love to give. Give because it's consistent with Christian character. Let your giving send the message of eager gratitude and overflowing love. When you give, give eagerly. Third, you're to give enthusiastically. Enthusiastically. Why? For God loves a, what? Cheerful giver. Oh, that ought to elevate our giving to ridiculous generosity. We ought to overflow with our capacity to contain ourselves every time we have offering time around here. You know, because of the promises of God, when we give generously, what he said he will do for us, offering time ought to be the best time, the favorite time at Portland Christian Center. When we call the ushers forward, you ought to stand and cheer. You ought to start the wave. I mean, I'd love to see that. That's on my bucket list, to see you do the wave at offering time before I go home to be with Jesus. To give enthusiastically. Don't think of giving as a loss or a debit to your account or a requirement of the law or a burden, but rather think of it as a joy that brings a blessing from God and communicates love to the giver of all that we have. Think of it as a joy that brings glory to the heart of God. Deliberative and eager givers will enjoy giving. They will enjoy it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says of Jesus, the ultimate giver, it says, who for the joy set before him gave himself on the cross so that you and I could be saved. When Jesus was enduring the pain and the suffering, the agony of the cross, there was joy in his heart. Not because he liked the suffering, he liked what the suffering would produce, our salvation. Jesus is the prime example of joyful giving. And then finally, number four, we'll close with this. You are to give expectantly. Expectantly. Paul taught in verse 8 that when you give deliberately, eagerly, joyfully, enthusiastically, that God will make sure that you will always have loads of stuff that's left to give away. Notice what he says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need, and plenty left over. God doesn't just give you enough. He's not the enough God. He's the more than enough God. You will have plenty left over to share with others. And you, friends, you have every right to expect that. And in fact, I would go so far as to say that your expectation of God actually honors his veracity, his faithfulness, his truthfulness, his character. You know, when we put expectations upon people, a lot of times that's a burden that they have to carry to live up to it. In this case, it actually honors Father when you expect him to do what he's promised to do. And so I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you that you would step out, you would be faithful to God, you would give generously, you would deal with the issue of generosity of heart, and then you would expect God, I expect you to lovingly, abundantly give what you've promised. Friends, what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is to give generously to an even more generous God. The more that we give, the more that he gives to us so that we can give to him, so that he can give to us. A cycle of abundance. That's what God desires for you. And it will do you good. Let me close with a story I read this week. I love this story. It's about a mom who took her kids out to eat. They went to a restaurant, and as they were around the table, her little six-year-old son asked to say grace. She said, okay. So he prayed. He bowed his head. He said, God is good. God is great. Thank you for the food. And I would thank you even more if mom gave us all ice cream for dessert. With liberty and justice for all, amen. That's a great prayer. Well, all the people around the family that were near enough to hear it, they just burst out in laughter. But there was one woman who wasn't too happy about that. She's kind of a grouchy old woman. And she, loud enough for everyone to hear, said, well, that's what's wrong with America today. Kids don't even know how to pray. Ask God for ice cream. Well, I never. Well, the little boy that prayed heard her say that, and he just burst out into tears, and he said to his mom, Mom, did I do it wrong? Is God mad at me? And she began to console him, and she assured him that he had actually done a terrific job, that no, God was not mad at him, that he was just fine. And as she was comforting her little boy, an older man who had heard all of this came and he stood at the table and he winked at the little boy and he said, well, I happen to know that God thought that was a really good prayer. The little boy said, really? You sure? He said, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Cross my heart. And then in a loud enough whisper that the grouchy old lady could hear, he said to the little boy, it's too bad that she never asked God for ice cream, because ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. Well, after the meal, the mom did buy ice cream for the kids, and they hungrily jumped in and began to gobble down their dessert, except for the little boy that had prayed. And he was just silent. He just looked at his bowl of ice cream, and suddenly, without a word, he grabbed the bowl, he stood up, and he walked over to the grouchy old woman. And he set the bowl before her, and with a big smile on his face, he said, here, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul sometime. And my soul is doing really good right now. And I agree. Ice cream is good for the soul. And so is giving it away. And so is generously giving of what we have. It's good for the soul. That's why Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous will prosper. One of the other translations that I read, I usually read all of these different verses in multiple translations, and there's another translation that says, the generosity will make your soul fat. So will ice cream, but generosity will make your soul fat. The generous will prosper. Now listen to this. And those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And that's what I want for you, to live under the refreshing of God. And the conduit to that into your life is your generosity. I hope you get it. Now let's pray. Let's pray. Now as we're praying, I want to come back and I want to make an appeal to the very first point that I made. That God is a giver. God is generous, and he's a giver. And the most famous verse in all of the Bible, John 3:16, said, God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, that whoever would put belief in him, put faith and trust in him, would not perish. Well, why would anyone perish? Because God knew that human beings, apart from Jesus, we're headed for a Christless eternity, because we all have sinned and we've fallen short of the righteous standards of God, and we cannot save, we cannot help ourselves. No matter how good we are, we still fall way short. And God saw that awful predicament, and he gave his son to die for our sins so that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, wouldn't enter into a Christless eternity, but would have everlasting. Now, some of you in this room today have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. You've never invited him to forgive you of your sins and to move you from the condemnation of eternal death into the gift of eternal life. The way you do that is just to express acknowledgement, first of all, that you're a sinner in need of salvation, and secondly, to express your faith, the trust that Jesus Christ has paid the price for you. He paid the penalty for you on the cross so that you wouldn't have to. And if you will do that today, God will give you the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus today. And maybe some of you have, maybe sometime in the past, but truth is, you're not walking with the Lord. You're not walking with Jesus as the Lord of your life. You're living a lifestyle contrary to that. And today, God is just gently whispering to you, bringing you back, and he's saying, I want to give you Jesus again. If you will confess your sin and invite Jesus to restore you, redeem you, he will, and I will give you the gift of eternal life. And once God gives you that gift, friends, listen, it's yours. You will be saved for all eternity. And so I want to pray for you, if that's you, whether you've never received Jesus or you need to rededicate your life to him. I want to pray for you in this final prayer. So with every head bowed, I want to know who I'm praying for, first of all. So I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Would you just lift your hand up and say, yeah, Pastor Ray, you're talking to me. I want to receive Jesus this morning. I want to receive this gift from God this morning. Thank you. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm not going to ask you to give in an offering. I'm not going to ask you to join the church. I'm simply going to ask you to give your life to God so God can give his gift of eternal life to you. So if that's you, would you raise, someone's already raised their hand down here. Yeah, a couple people, just all over the place. Hold them up for a second so I can see where you are. Yeah, thank you. You can put it down. Thank you, sir. You can put, okay. Others, just lift it up. Let me see. I'm looking. Thank you, ma'am. You can put it down. Thank you in the back. Little man there. Thank you, little person. Thanks. Okay, I'm going to look up in the balcony. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Let me see you. I want to pray for you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't leave here without the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Let's all stand, please. I'm going to pray a prayer. And as I do, I just want you, if you lifted your hand, to pray this prayer and receive the gift that God's going to give you this morning. And then walk out of here confident that he has given you forgiveness of sins and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your generosity. And thank you for the gift that you're giving us. You've given us through Jesus Christ. And the gift that you're giving to those who responded today to this invitation to confess their sins and to declare Jesus as Lord and to receive him as their Savior. God, I pray that in this moment, as their heart reaches out to you, that you would exchange their sin nature for Christ nature. Cover them with the sacrifice of Jesus and give them the gift of eternal life. And I pray from this moment on that they will reconfigure how they think about life and they will see themselves as your child and they will live the rest of their lives, every moment of it, as one big thank you offering to you for your grace and your mercy. And this I pray and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, before you go, first of all, bless you as you go. May God be with you. Turn to somebody and say, I hope that your soul gets fat this week. You know, I mean that in the best way possible.
Thank you for listening to this Portland Christian Center podcast featuring part of our series, Overflow. If you would like to know more about Portland Christian Center, you can find it right here on our website at pcctoday.com.